Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
Ho ho! Welcome back to Spirits on Spirits, the pod where we indulge in spirits while investigating spirits. Aiden, how are we doing this week?
Doing fantastic.
Nice. Well, we are headed to the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California. So excited for this episode. Aiden, tell the people what we're drinking on this week.
Yeah, so this week we are doing the Moscow Mule, which I didn't realize is actually, like, native to Los Angeles.
I had no idea.
Based on the name, I would have thought it would be Moscow, but here yep. We are. So if you're drinking along with us this week, it's just three simple ingredients. So 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1/6 ounce of lime juice, and 4 ounces of ginger beer. And then I've got the loaded version. Nate's got the unloaded version.
Yep.
So yeah, cheers.
Yeah, cheers. Nice.
Solid clink. If it's a different clink this week, that's because we are drinking out of actual Moscow Mule cups. So
we're official.
Oh, dude, that is good stuff.
It's a good one. Yeah.
How's the non-alc version?
Good. Good. I mean, it's just ginger beer and then a little bit of lime juice, so it's good.
Nice.
I like it. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So, this week we're in Los Angeles, California, which is an area that we have a little experience in.
Yeah. Yeah. We moved out there. We lived out there for a brief second. We're, like we said, Salem, Mass, born and raised, but during COVID, Aiden and I decided to venture out. And we took a 2-week road trip from cross country, stopping in a lot of places along the way, and ended up in Los Angeles, Venice Beach specifically.
Right on the boardwalk, pretty much.
Yeah. No, we had a sweet setup while we were out there. Yeah, definitely no complaints, except for the needles and the homeless people. But
if you're ever out there, hit up Jameson's if you're looking for a 2-for-1 drink deal. That was our local watering hole.
Had quite a few of those. there have been nights where I would drink a 12-pack by myself. But hey, if you only pay for 6 of them, how many did you actually drink?
6.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's an argument I get into.
That's sound logic to me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call you up anytime I have that argument.
But, so I just want to put a disclaimer out there for this episode that my story for this week does touch on suicide. So if that's something that you don't want to listen to, feel free to either skip forward or just skip this week altogether and meet us back next week.
Yeah, my story brings it up briefly. So, you know, if you're someone that can hear the word or kind of like hear a little bit about it, mine is a little bit more glosses over it. Like, it brings up that's the cause of death of one of the people at my location, but I don't talk very deeply about it.
So. Yeah, mine's a little more like prominent.
Gotcha.
So definitely if that's something that you're not, up for listening to, then... you know, feel free to skip my story.
Gotcha. We'll appreciate you letting us know.
Of course. So, yeah, I'll just get right into it.
Yeah, let's send it.
All right. So the area that I am doing this week is the location that I'm doing this week is the Cecil Hotel. What do you know about the Cecil Hotel?
So, nothing. Like, I'm actually, when you texted me and you said, I'm doing the Cecil Hotel, I got super excited because as someone who... is like interested and like really likes to hear this stuff. I know that it's something that there have been documentaries made about and all that kind of stuff, but I haven't seen any of them.
Hmm.
Like, I haven't watched anything. Like, I remember watching the trailer for, I think it was the Hulu one, where they, like, talked about, like, the woman going up the elevator, and there was, like, camera footage of that, but then nothing else. I don't know who she was. I don't know what happened to her or anything like that, but I know they made the documentary about it, but I really don't know anything about it other than it's a hotel in Los Angeles. So when you said that, I was so excited because it's something that I've been interested in, but I'm going to be honest, I don't love those documentaries because, like, I don't know, they feel, like, too intense for me and stuff like that, so I don't love watching them, but I am interested in the stories behind them, so I am excited to hear what you got for us this week.
Yeah, that's fair. I was definitely surprised when you said that you haven't heard about it, because I feel like it's been, like, all over, like, it was all over every news outlet for a long time. It's been in so many documentaries and, like, just random, like, it's actually the, I read somewhere that it was the place that inspired American Horror Story Hotel.
Oh, really? The hotel season?
Yeah.
That's cool. That was the only season that I've watched, like, an episode. I watched, like, an episode of the first season, went, ooh, no thank you. and then, I don't know, I've always been intrigued by hotels. And then I believe that season Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I think that was Lady Gaga's season.
The Gogs was in.
The Gogs.
So I do remember watching an episode of that. But again, just reiterating my, nope, I'm good. So only watched an episode of it. That show is so friggin' creepy.
It is very creepy. But it's also really good. There's some really good seasons.
Yeah, like I think they do a really good job with really creepy things. I just am someone that has a low creep tolerance.
Honestly, so. Hotel, like I have seen a lot of seasons of American Horror Story, but Hotel was actually one of the seasons that I had to stop watching because it was so, like, disturbing.
Really?
It was really gory.
Oh, it was, like, gory and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and just, like, I don't know, there was just a lot of weird stuff in it, and I was just like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is funny because, like, there's a lot of seasons of American Horror Story
you
now.
You have a pretty high tolerance.
I have a super high tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that comes with being a skeptic, I think, a lot of times, is I have a much higher tolerance for, like, spooks and, like, creepiness. But, yeah, that one, I couldn't sit through it.
Yeah. That's wild. Was it the first season where, like, a ghost, like, porked the dude's wife?
Maybe.
Like, the black thing came, like, slendering down from the ceiling and, like, tried to bang some lady. It could be totally making that up.
That could be. I haven't seen the first season in a long time.
I
watched it. It was a really good season, but I can't remember it all the way through.
I remember, so, in all honesty and fairness, I watched, like, a little bit of that first season, because it came out when we were, like, youngish, like, yeah. What, like, 13, maybe?
Yeah, probably something like that.
And it was one of the few shows that were, like, TVMA,
yeah.
Which, as a 13-year-old, you're like,
whoa,
boobs? Question mark? So I remember, like, fast-forwarding through, like, a little bit of it, going, oh, fingers crossed, there might be some boobs. I don't think there was any boobs.
Yeah, I doubt it.
No, I was pretty upset, I think. Yep.
That's 13-year-old
yep.
Boys for you.
Definitely.
Pubescent boys.
Yeah, that's a bummer. No boobs. All right, well.
Anyway, I digress.
Get into it, yeah.
So, the Cecil Hotel was built in 1924 by Hotelier? Is that how you say it? Hotelier? Hotelier?
Maybe like Hotelier.
Hotel. We'll go with that. Hotelier.
The hotel guy. There you go.
William Banks Hanner.
Oh, that's a rich name.
It is a very rich name. It was designed to be like a super grand, luxurious, and it's also massive. Like, it's 700 rooms.
Oh, that's a
which
big
I.
Hotel.
I mean, I don't know what the average hotel is, but that feels way above average.
Yeah, that feels pretty damn big.
But soon after its opening, obviously, since it was 1924, the Great Depression hit. So that caused a lot of economic decline for the hotel and for the surrounding area. And then by the 30s, downtown LA, which is where the Cecil is, saw a super huge influx of transient and homeless populations, which ended up creating what we know today as Skid Row.
Wow.
So Skid Row is like where the Cecil is, like right in the heart of where the Cecil is.
Really?
So now the once luxurious Cecil becomes a budget hotel which caters to long-term residents.
Oh, yeah, that's I don't think what hotels want.
So it's like
The transient type.
Like bad version of like Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
They should reboot Suite Life of Zack and Cody, but it's at the Cecil Hotel.
Oh, dude, it would basically be an American Horror Story season. Seriously, it's crazy.
That's freaking hilarious.
And over the decades, it would become infamous for suicides, violent crimes, drug overdoses, drug deals, just about any mischief that you can think of is it
Jeepers
happened
creepers.
at the Cecil.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So just pretty much everything. I feel like hotels are a hotbed for like mischief, like you said. Why? Why are hotels a hotbed for mischief?
I mean, you can book a room for 100 bucks, 150
I guess
bucks
that's fair.
and
Like you can
do
show a fake ID.
yeah.
Like, and it's a place
Less
that's
so today, but definitely back in these days.
yeah. That they probably didn't even ask for an ID back then.
No,
But
definitely
like
not.
even now
Especially
they
not in this place.
no, yeah. And like now they ask for IDs, but like it's just some like 17-year-old behind the counter that like looks at it for 30 seconds and then like just gives it back to you. So yeah, I guess that makes sense, but I have always wondered that. Like hotels have a lot of mischief.
Yeah. And it has been linked to a lot of notorious people, like serial killer Richard Ramirez, aka the Night Stalker.
Whoa.
So while he was killing, he would like come back to the Cecil where he was living, covered in blood.
And like no one would say
And no one
anything.
would bat an eye because everyone was like up
That's
to no good there.
crazy. Remind me about him again, do
So he, from what I can remember, he like was terrorizing LA at this time, but he his like MO was like murdering women while they slept.
Oh.
So he would like
Huh.
he's called the Night Stalker because he would like stalk neighborhoods at night and sneak into people's homes and murder them. So not a great guy,
No.
not a great dude.
No, that kind of sucks.
And then also serial killer Jack Unterweger.
So a second serial killer at the
Yeah,
same hotel.
within like less than a decade of each other, which I feel
That's
like has to be statistically crazy.
yeah, like statistically insane, 'cause I mean the statistics on serial killers is most people aren't them. So then
Yeah.
to have one hotel that has two. What was his name again?
Jack Unterweger, I think he was Austrian.
Okay.
And he was a journalist
So
who turned into a serial killer.
wait, that's kind of crazy. I want to hear more about him, but before that, is he top serial killer for cool name? Like real name. Unterweger is a
Now I'm trying to.
fun. That's a fun name.
That it is a fun name.
Unterweger.
Yeah,
Could you imagine getting
he might be.
killed by some like Austrian guy that has like an accent? Like, oh,
Oh,
I'm gonna kill you now. I'm Unterweger.
Unterweger. Yeah, he. But all jokes aside, he was a terrible dude. He killed a lot of people. I think he killed people in Austria too,
Oh,
and then
jeez.
like came
He took
over.
his talents overseas. That's
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, he took his
He's
talents
taking his
elsewhere.
talents to LA. That's literally what LeBron said. Oh, man.
Yeah, so they both inhabited the Cecil within like a decade of each other.
That's crazy.
And they used it as like home base while they were committing their crimes, both of them.
So they felt safe enough in that place to just like be a serial killer and then come back at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like someone like you or I would feel very unsafe in a place like that.
Yeah.
But if you're Richard Ramirez and you're just like out here murdering people, I don't think you're all that worried about the people that you're living with.
No, yeah, that's fair.
So the only concern is people turning him in, which isn't going to happen at the Cecil because everyone's committing crimes there. So it's kind of the perfect place to stay.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then, so now on to like more of the paranormal
okay.
side of it. A lot of people say that like from the moment that you step into the Cecil Hotel, you can just feel this like overwhelming, like negative energy.
I believe that. I mean, it sounds like so much just bad shit happens there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to get into a lot of that, but definitely paranormal investigators and psychic mediums have claimed for a long time that the hotel is home to a powerful, malevolent energy.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's also well documented. Like we've been talking about, there's been so many documentaries on the weird happenings at this place. That, like, it's, like, I don't know, like, there's just so much footage of it, there's so much, like, coverage of it, but with so many, like, deaths, and so many deaths connected there, not even just, like, within the hotel, but also two serial killers, prominent serial killers staying there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, all those people's deaths are connected there, too.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, like, who knows, maybe they're... Also,
yeah, that's a lot of spirits in one place.
Yeah, a lot of potential spirits for sure. One of the most frequently reported apparitions is a woman in a black dress who's seen standing at the window of an upper floor room before suddenly vanishing. And what makes that so interesting is that the Cecil Hotel has been the home of a lot of, like we've talked about, a lot of suicides. And a few of them have been people jumping out of high windows.
Jeez.
There was one lady who jumped out of a window and landed on an old man, and they both died.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's a tough death.
No, that's a
for
tough death.
For both of them.
For both of them.
Yeah.
Could you just imagine walking down the street and then just, like, da-da-da, and then, boom! And, like, just absolutely getting obliterated by a woman.
Well, could you also imagine being like,
is that a quick death, or like did he lay there for a little bit going, what the fuck?
I feel like that's quick. I think she was like in the ninth story or something.
Oh, it
was yeah,
so she
was,
just chest pounded him into the concrete.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was not pretty.
No, that's a tough one.
But
like a WWE
but movie. Can you imagine being the person who jumped out of the window and like your last image is you coming closer to this innocent bystander who, like, you're about to crush to death by
that's
accident.
Nuts. That would probably hurt. That might even, I, like, that would, I mean, depending on where,
yeah, the split second
him,
of,
like, his head impacting your stomach or something like that, like,
yeah,
that would hurt.
Yeah, not great all around.
No.
That's a rough way to,
that's
a rough way to go.
Please.
So there's the spirit of Pigeon Goldie Osgood.
Whoa. Sweet name.
A well-known resident who was murdered in her room in 1964.
Oh.
And a lot of guests have reported seeing an elderly woman in a blue dress feeding birds in the courtyard. So wholesome. That's so wholesome.
For someone that got murdered, too, especially.
Yeah. She's just out there feeding birds.
Do you know more about her? Like, anything? Like, how she got murdered or anything like that?
I don't know how she got murdered. All I know is that people still see her, and then she just, like, disappears when she gets approached.
Jeez.
So she's just trying to feed her birds in peace, and then once her peace is disrupted, she's like, peace out, I'm out of here.
That's crazy.
But, like, the most famous instance from the Cecil is...
Oh, we're not even at the most famous yet?
No, dude. This is the one that, like, all of those documentaries are about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, it's the girl who, like, was seen on camera footage. I'll get into it.
Okay.
But, so, it's Elisa Lam. And she was, like, a 21-year-old tourist. I think she was from Canada.
Okay.
And she was just trying to get a little bit of travel done before she went to school.
Okay.
And she was stopping in LA and stopped at the Cecil Hotel. And I think it, like, based on how I remember the story from the documentaries, she like didn't know that it was in like Skid Row and like place. Super dangerous. Like she just saw that it's a hotel in downtown LA and was like
pretty cheap.
Yeah, pretty cheap. And she was like, "Oh, that's perfect. I'll stay there."
Yeah, but then when you get there, you're like, "Oh, but like, don't you just be like, well, I'm gonna eat the $120 that it was."
But if you're
like
a broke college kid, and this was like, this wasn't like a, oh, I'm going to LA to travel. This was like a, I'm going up and down the West Coast, and LA is just a stop.
Gotcha.
So it was like probably a pretty expensive trip to begin with.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's one where like I would just kind of like, you have those gut feelings, like, and I feel like you got to trust those in those moments, but.
But I'm the type of person too where I will, I'll see it through. For a little while.
I would not. I'd be like, fuck this place.
Yeah, I'll stick it out for a little while and see what the worst that it can do is happen. But, yeah, so basically what happens is there is footage of Elisa Lam in the elevator from January 31st. And that's the last time that she's ever seen.
Oh, gee.
And it's really creepy footage. Like, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely go watch it. She basically, like, it looks like she's, like, playing a game with someone in the hallway or something. Like, she, like, looks in and out of the elevator.
Wait, what?
Like, peering around the corner at someone, like, playfully. And then
that's weird.
Yeah, and then she, like, hides.
Like, are you sure it's playful and not like, oh, fuck, that person looks sketchy?
It also might be, but based on what I've, like, based on how I took it, I saw it as kind of like she's, like, playfully going in and out. Like, I feel like she didn't look all that scared. But people think that she might have been playing something called the elevator game, which I hadn't heard about until this story. But basically, it's where you press certain buttons on the elevator, like certain floors, and you have to go in a certain order, and the second to last one is 5. So you go to floor 5, second to last, and allegedly it like takes you to a different dimension if you do it correctly. But on floor 5, you'll see a woman who is not, like, actually on planet Earth. She's, like, in another dimension or something. And if you look at her or speak to her or, like, acknowledge her in any way, she'll, like, basically, like, take you and, like, or, like, possess you or something.
What?
Isn't that weird?
That's not real.
Well, so in the, in, so
that's not
I real. I should clarify, too. In the footage, she also presses all of the buttons. Like, every single elevator button.
Okay.
So that's why people theorize that she was playing the elevator game, is because you press all these buttons in the elevator game. And then if you make it to the last floor, which I think is floor 10, then you come out in another dimension. That's the way that the lore of the story, of the game goes.
That's weird.
It's completely over my head, too. But that, it's just what people allege. Obviously, I kind of take that with a grain of salt, especially because her body was found in this dimension. so it really holds no, it holds no water. Like, it,
no,
it doesn't.
Yeah, that's,
you know, it doesn't really, yeah. It
doesn't but make so, sense. So you jumped ahead, I guess, a little bit inadvertently there by saying her body was found.
Yeah, so, like, I think 2.5 weeks after that footage, guests in the hotel were complaining about bad water pressure. And so, like, a wider search. And people had been searching for a long time. Like, all the entire time up until now.
Oh, wow.
But an additional search was done, and, like, a maintenance guy went to the water towers or like water jugs where the hotel's water is kept on the roof.
Yeah.
And when he opened one of them, he found Elisa Lam's body in it, which is weird because apparently it's like really hard to get into these things. Like, I'll start off by saying what I read is that these jugs are 4 feet by 8 feet. So that's not like a ton of room in general.
No.
But apparently, like, it's not easy to get there.
No,
And then
yeah.
it's not easy to get in.
Yeah, and you'd have a body with you. Like, what?
So people have been like, how did this happen? So it's a huge mystery. Like, even I think to this day, like, no one really knows what transpired to get her into one of those water jugs.
Jeez.
I mean, there's been tons of like I heard that she has bipolar and she was on meds, so there's the potential that something a lot like something mental health related was happening.
Like she killed herself, or like she got in the water tank herself, or
Yeah, I mean,
whatever.
I think that that's pretty I think that that's like pretty well understood that she probably got into it on her own, just because how would you, like, you can't carry someone in there.
Yeah.
It would be really hard to do. So I think it's pretty well like understood that she did it herself, but there's so many speculations on why, because she had so much going for her. Like, she was a young student, like had a loving family, was
Jeez.
just on a like traveling. I don't know. Like, there's just so much
Yeah,
stuff
this is
around
a
it. It's
weird ass,
a weird story,
creepy
which is
friggin'
why there's
story.
been so many documentaries on it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I had no idea. Oh my
But
gosh.
then there's the other side of it, which is speculations that maybe she was possessed by something, maybe she was being lured by something. If you buy into the elevator game story, maybe she like was lured by that lady on the fifth floor.
Jeez.
So
Dude, that's creepy as shit, bro.
it's super creepy. But that's why like that put the Cecil on the map, like totally like worldwide news on the map. Officially her death was ruled an accident, but obviously people don't super buy into that.
Yeah, no, that's
I mean, you don't accidentally get into a water jug.
yeah. No.
You know?
No, you're either dead and get put in there, or you put yourself in there and then die. That's so gross, though, that people were taking
I
showers with
know.
the
I thought about
water.
that too. Like, that wasn't brought up in the sources that I read, but like that would freak me out. If I
Yeah.
was taking like if I was drinking the tap water
Yeah.
or taking showers in like
Dead person
get
water?
dead person water.
Jeez. That's crazy.
R.I.P. Elisa Lam.
Yeah, that's
That's a
nuts.
tough.
That's a poor girl. That's a tough story.
And now she's like world famous for the way she died and
That's a super freaking. That
not
might
really
be
the
our
person that she
creepiest story
was.
yet.
Yeah.
That might be the
I
creepiest
agree. I think it
story
definitely
yet.
is.
Yeah.
But yeah, with so much paranormal stuff happening, I feel like it's I feel like this place is haunted.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I, even sitting here just listening to your story, I feel like a heavier energy. Like we've
Yeah.
talked about other hotels and stuff like that, and even like some like the places I've talked about with like murder, like in torture and stuff like that, haven't had as heavy a feeling as that one did.
Yeah, like I feel like there's places that people die and they come back as ghosts because they want to. Like they love the place. They had a special connection with the place in their like when they were alive. This place, it seems like anything that's there is there by force and not like by their own free will. Like
Yeah.
they're stuck there.
Yeah, that is a crazy one. I'm not a fan of that.
I can't I still can't believe that you hadn't really heard much about it.
No, I mean, I do vaguely remember seeing like footage, like the YouTube trailer, like I said, had, or net, or Hulu, sorry, let me just roll through the whole streaming deck real quick. The Hulu trailer had her like in the elevator, but I didn't know she pressed all the buttons. I didn't know who she was or anything along those lines. Yeah, that's crazy. That one gives me the real heebie-jeebies.
Real heebie-jeebers.
Yep.
For sure.
Crazy. Oh, man. All right. Do you want to kill that drink and, like, pause for a second, and then I'll get into my story?
Yeah, that works.
All right, cool.
If you're drinking along with us, chug your drink with me.
Chug. Nice. All right, we're back. Drinks are refreshed.
And reloaded.
Ready to go on our second story of the evening.
Take it away.
I did the Griffith Park. I did, so, at first, so, and I'll actually pose this question to you, too. But for me, this was one of the weeks, like, this was by far the week that it was the hardest to find information about. I found a lot of places, like, you'd Google, like, haunted places LA, scary places in LA, places in LA that have ghosts, all that kind of stuff. And I'd find a lot of places, but it would just be, like, small blurbs. And then, like, you'd go for sources, and they're just, like, it was very hard to find information this week, which I'm actually kind of glad about, because what that allowed me was finding this source. Like, my first three ones that I was going to go with, I just couldn't find enough information for it to be, like, a story that I wanted to tell and bring the people and talk about with you and stuff like that. So I just didn't feel good about them. So I'd get a little bit into the research, and I'd be like, nah, I can't do this. Another one. Ooh, this is cool. All right, read. It's not enough. So my, like, third one that I got to was the Griffith Park. And it took me a little bit, but I was able to finally, like, crack the nut and got a lot of research done. And I am blown away by this place. In terms of what has happened there, the history, the deaths, everything, the paranormal sightings, all of that kind of stuff. So I am pretty excited to dive into the story for you.
That's good, because like you with my story, I've never heard of this. I guess you had heard of my story. I have never heard of this place.
Nice.
So we're similarly in just listening mode.
Cool. Well, I'm excited that I can share a story with you. So Griffith Park is a park in Los Angeles that is massive. It has a lot of space there. There's golf courses, walking trails, all this kind of stuff. What led me to it was there was actually a zoo there a long time ago. And the initial hauntings and some of the haunting stuff that I found was related to the zoo. So let me get into some of the history first. Then I want to get into some of the deaths and then some of the hauntings.
So does this place have anything to do with the observatory?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I believe it's the same guy.
Okay.
That, like, I think just...
Is it the same, like, area, or is it a different spot in L.A.?
Yeah, you know, like, similar, like, in that, like, same, like, the Los Feliz area.
Los Feliz.
Yes. All right. So, okay. It's one of the most visited parks, actually, in Los Angeles. Like, it's a big park. It has a big... there's a lot of people that go, both natives, tourists, all that kind of stuff. So, a lot of stuff going on in this park. Before it was a park, it was a part of Rancho Los Feliz, which was owned by Don Antonio Feliz. So he died in 1863 of smallpox. And the story goes that a corrupt politician was in cahoots with a lawyer, and they were really trying to swindle his family out of the land at that time. And Felice's niece put a curse on the land, condemning all future owners to misfortune and ruin. So, late 1800s, guy owns the land, is dying of smallpox. Politician, lawyer are trying to swindle and kind of like cheat their way into this land. And as a result, his niece put a curse on it and said, condemning all future owners to misfortune and ruin. And honestly, the more you hear about the park, it sounds like, you know,
it worked.
It worked, but also it worked maybe even too well. Like, maybe she, like, meant to say future owners, but, like, accidentally said all future people that go to this park. Because this park has not only taken down the owners of it, but it's taken down a lot of other people. A
lot of crossfire.
Yeah, a lot of crossfire. So, over the decades, you know, we have really kind of seen this curse pop up in a bunch of different ways. So, that land was purchased by a cattle owner, and all the cows were wiped out by disease. And then the grass got destroyed by a wildfire and all that stuff. So, and there was a catastrophic flood that struck the area, too. So, a lot of different things. A
lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that happened to the owner just right after. And that was when Griffith J. Griffith took control in the late 19th century.
We have to focus on that for a second.
Yeah.
The dude's name was Griffith Griffith.
Yeah, Griffith J. Griffith.
No, leave out the Griffith. It's or the J. It's just Griffith Griffith.
Oh, man.
That is...
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, that, like, once I saw that, I was like, dude, I don't... I mean, they say, like, you're never supposed to trust people with two first names. And it's like, this guy, not only...
That's just the same name.
Yeah, just the same name.
The Barons were so unoriginal. Our last name is Griffith. That baby looks like a Griffith.
I wonder if, like, the dad was just, like, super nervous in the hospital and on the birth certificate where it said last name, thought it said first name. And then was like, oh, fuck. But he wrote it in pen, so he couldn't erase it. So
he tried to cross it out, but he put J, and then they were like, oh, it's Griffith J. Griffith. Yeah. Instead of J. Griffith.
So, yeah, Double G took over in the late 19th century, and there was strange occurrences throughout that whole time. So, ranch workers claimed to see the ghost of Don Antonio Felice cheering as storms and disaster raged the area. So, like, when I was talking about the wildfire and the flood and all that stuff, there have been reports of, like, a shadow figure, like, standing on the hill, like, excited as all of this was happening.
Wait, so didn't you say that, like, the daughter?
Niece.
So the niece did the curse,
mm-hmm.
but the guy was happy that things were happening?
Yeah. To the new owner.
Okay. Is there a reason why he would have qualms?
Well,
did I miss the...
Well, I mean, he died and he got swindled. Like, he got swindled out of giving his family this land. And stuff
okay. Did he know that in life, or is that after his death, it, like...
Unclear.
Okay.
Unclear.
Okay.
So, in 1912, the Griffith Park became home to a zoo, actually. Before it was a zoo, it was actually an ostrich farm on this part of the land. And then it started with 15 animals, and these were donated from a producer in Hollywood at the time. So that was using these animals on a movie set after the movie was done shooting, donated them to this zoo.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And then it actually got expanded, the 1930s by the Roosevelt New Deal. So that money and the stuff. The economic policies and funds were used to expand the zoo. Now, what I can read and find based on this was that this zoo was, like, I think any zoo during this early 1900s and stuff like that is pretty negligent or abusive towards the animals. Like,
yeah.
It was the enclosures were, like, just these tiny caves with bars on the front. And, like, apparently they're actually, like, still there. Like, you can still find them in the park and stuff like that. The tiny cave with, like, just bars on the front. So, like...
So not their natural habitats.
No, like, we're talking small cave. Like, the size of this rug with like a lion in it or something like that.
This rug is probably 6 by 10, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. Yep.
But for animals, that's...
Yeah, like a lion or a jaguar or like something like that.
Yeah, that's not enough. My dog, who is a King Charles Cavalier, barely... That would barely be big enough for him, so...
Yeah. No, like, he would definitely... Like, spending your whole life in this small space would definitely not be enjoyable at all. So, by 1966, the zoo was shut down, and it got replaced by the Los Angeles Zoo, which is just 2 miles away. So, they opened a bigger, better zoo 2 miles away, and then, at that point, just shut this zoo down. Since that, this where the zoo used to be has become like a popular picnic area, filming location, and all that stuff. There has been reports that at night, though, it turns into a really eerie place where there have been a lot of reports of like animal noises, like in distress, like animals in distress, like calling out, growling. And, like, stuff like that echoing through the abandoned enclosures. So, creepy as shit.
Next time that we go to L.A., we have to stop by there at night and see what's what.
No, I'm going to nip that right in the bud. And I'll
tell
you
stay in the Cecil and we'll head to this place.
No, fuck that. That sounds awful. So, there have been, from what I can find, like... close to 50 deaths that have happened on this property.
Jeez.
And, like, I'm not talking, like, hiker walking and, like, has a heart attack and stuff like that. Like, I am talking, like, gruesome deaths. So, like, and that's why I nipped your let's go at night plan right in the bud. Because, and I, like, so, you know what? I have them all in chronological order, so I'm just going to read through, like, the chronological order of the deaths and stuff like that. But we're going to start off, and I left a bunch off. Like, I didn't even get all of them down there. I just kind of got some of the more prominent ones and stuff like that. But so, in 1836, the murder of Domingo Feliz. So, Domingo Feliz was the co-owner of Ranchos Los Feliz, and he was murdered by his wife's lover at her encouragement. She was much younger than him. She ran away. And from what I can find, he found her, like arrested her and like demanded she got brought back. And then she ran away again. And then what ended up happening was that her lover, killed him. I'm misreading my notes. So he got murdered by her lover, and like obviously she was the one that like requested the hit, basically. And both of them were executed by vigilantes after that.
Well, that's justice in a way.
So far we got three deaths really associated with this place.
Okay,
and it's 1836. Okay. 1932, so we're jumping ahead a while, Peg Entwistle, Millicent, like her nickname was Peg, like Millicent Peg Entwistle, was a struggling 24-year-old actress, and she ended her life by jumping off the H on the Hollywood sign.
Is the Hollywood sign in Griffith Park?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. It's like, part of... this park is massive.
Yeah.
But okay. Yes.
I feel like I've heard about deaths in, like, near the Hollywood sign.
Yeah. So, she jumped off the H. So, it's H for Hollywood and H for... that was bad.
That was a good one.
She jumped off that sign in 1932. And there have been reports of seeing her figure, and it is often accompanied by the smell of her favorite perfume.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'd find that pretty creepy, but...
Her perfume?
Well, yeah, just if you're smelling perfume in the middle of the woods.
I don't know.
I guess, maybe. I don't know. So, let's, next year, so a year from now, so we're currently, death toll's at 4. A year from now, 1933, one of Los Angeles's deadliest fires erupted in Mineral Wells Canyon, which is in Griffith Park, and at least 29 men were killed. So they were working on the grounds, like, for maintenance and stuff like that, and they died in the fire. And there was about 150 that were injured, but of those 29, many of which are still unidentified.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, so, like, a lot of them, we don't even still to this day know who they were and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yep. And then let's fast forward a little bit. The in 1969, the La Bianca murders happened. So it wasn't actually within the park itself, but it's like right next to the park. Like the house that it happened in was right next to the park. And it was the site of Charles Manson and his disciples killed Rosemary Rosemary Le Bianca and her husband Lino, and yeah, they were killed in a house right next to the park. And then in 2012, so I skipped a little bit, but in 2012 there were the dismembered remains of Hervey Mendelin. So there was a severed head and body parts discovered by local hikers in the park. And his partner, Gabriel Campos Martinez, was later convicted of the crime, but in the park itself, they don't know if the murder actually took place in the park, but the severed head and dismembered body were found in the park.
Yeah, not a great track record.
Mm-hmm. And then 2017, another decapitated body was found, so hikers again stumbled upon a decapitated body in the park, there was a debate of whether the death was a result of foul play or animal activity. It's still unsolved.
I'm gonna go with foul play.
Yeah,
based on the history of this place.
Yep, I agree. And then in 2019, there was an unidentified woman found. So in January 2019. Park rangers discovered the body of an unidentified woman along Red Oak Drive, and then they launched a homicide investigation, but details surrounding it remain scarce. So they still don't know what happened, who she is, and stuff like that. And that was in 2019. So, yeah. And then in 2022, Vanessa Garcia was found hanging from a tree near the Griffith Park merry-go-round, and also on fire. So she was found on fire by the tree. They think that a fire got started. Like, she died, and then a fire got started coincidentally, and she died of asphyxiation, and they're not sure if it's from the hanging or the smoke first.
Oh, my God.
But the crazy thing is that got ruled as a suicide, but her family is pretty adamant in saying, we don't think so.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Seems like almost ritualistic.
What
right?
year was that?
2022.
Oh my God, that's so recent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I get, like, that feels like ritualistic almost, right? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't feel right.
No. Nope. And then another really interesting thing is that there has been a werewolf sighted at the park.
No way.
On numerous occasions. So, like, there have been reports that calling it, like, the Christmas werewolf and stuff like that, because its fur is, like, red and green. But, yeah, it's, like, described like a werewolf beef. It's, like, legs are really tall and strong. It's covered in fur. Or, I guess, most of the accounts call it, like, hair, but, like, they say it's, like, a fur-like hair from what they've talked about. And, yeah, that's been spotted on several occasions. Some people do believe that it's a demonic entity connected to the land's curse. And yeah, there have been numerous sightings, but no physical evidence has ever been collected.
No, I bet it's like a celebrity out there.
Like
turning into a werewolf. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Maybe.
During the full moon.
Just like out in the woods and stuff like that. Can you imagine? I mean, I had no idea. Like, in the middle of LA, like, werewolf.
No, that sighting. Doesn't.
Multiple times, too. Like, sighted multiple times.
Okay. But, like, really?
I know. I mean, I don't know, man. Multiple times. Sighting multiple times. So, I guess, let me phrase it this way to you. Would you believe it more if you, like, do you believe demonic entity more or, like, werewolf more?
Entity. Because so, here's my thing, right? Is that any of these, like, cryptids or, like, the physical things, I'm actually less inclined to believe in. Just because if there was a Bigfoot or a werewolf or, you know, a Mothman, we would have found, like, clear skeletons of them by now.
Yeah.
Like, if there was werewolves, we would know. Right. If there was Bigfoot, we would, like, there would be, in a museum, on display somewhere, there would be a skeleton of a Bigfoot. Like, they don't live forever. Unless they do, in which case, like, that's wild. But I don't think they do. I don't think that's in the lore anywhere.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So I would be more inclined to believe that it's, like, some sort of otherworldly or, like, other dimension entity thing that comes out in that place.
Yeah. I would believe that. Because it does. It just seems like there's such a dark... Again, like, for whatever reason, I did not expect... Because when I think LA, I don't think haunted. But you know what? How about this? Let's actually pause on this conversation. Because I want to get through the actual, like, entities that are spotted on the property as well.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Like the ones I've already mentioned too. Like Peg. And then the Don Antonio Felice. But also his niece is seen walking around like in a dress and stuff like that, walking around on the property. Griffith, Jay Griffith, the man himself, Double G.
Griffith squared.
He's seen on horseback actually riding around the property and stuff like that, which I think is interesting. And like I said, also too, the phantom animal cries. So visitors, again, like many of visitors have reported hearing distressed animal sounds. Despite, you know, that being closed for decades now at this point. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. I believe all of this. I think especially, like, I, you know, for sake of keeping the podcast, like, on the shorter side, like, didn't even get into all the murders and stuff like that. But I'd be interested in, like, doing a deep dive on this park and potentially going at night. But, dude, first off, like, LA's so dangerous and sketchy. Paranormal stuff aside, so I do, like, I don't know, I would think twice about being anywhere in LA like at night, especially a public park, before we actually did it. So yeah, I don't know, I think I'm surprised because I think these are two of the darkest, like, just darkest energy, like, ones that we've covered, and I did not expect that. I don't think, like, haunted and dark energy when I think of LA.
No.
At all. Like, I think, like, newer, superficial, obviously a rich history, like, when it comes to American culture and stuff like that. Recent history, for the most part. Like, late 1800s and stuff like that. So, yeah, I really didn't expect to find stories that have such a dark energy. And you know what? Now that we're talking about it, maybe that actually makes sense. Because, think about it, like, the other stuff we cover, it's where, you know, we're looking at hauntings and tragedies that happened, like 1700s, early 1800s, like at the latest 1900s and stuff like that. So then to have something that's a little bit newer, I wonder if that plays a part. I mean, they say, like, time heals, Like, time heals all. Like, time heals old wounds and stuff like that. Like, maybe there just hasn't been enough time for some of these places in L.A. to heal and stuff like
that. I've also thought about it. Like, why don't we ever hear about, like, a millennial ghost?
Yeah, right?
Like, we never hear about, like, someone who died in, like, 2020 haunting haunting a place.
No, yeah. I mean, I guess maybe, like
Jenny with her iPhone. is seen in the promenade or whatever. Yeah, you know?
I mean, I guess maybe like a lot of where you get ghost stories from are just like word of mouth and then someone writes them down. So it's like maybe we're not seeing enough of that. Like enough time hasn't passed for people to have written these stories down and stuff like that. But yeah, it was really interesting because like I was... Like, when we said we were going to do L.A., I was like, all right, fine, we can do L.A. We used to live out there. Like, it'll be, like, cool to do. But, like, I didn't have any expectation of, like, really getting, like, entranced by the stories.
Yeah.
And I felt like I, watching them or listening to them, was like, oh, wow, like, L.A., like, these feel dark. Like, hearing yours and researching mine, like, I was like, these feel really dark and stuff like that. So I was really surprised about that.
Yeah, I feel like for such a newer city, relatively, it has a lot of it's had a lot of things like dark things happen, like serial killers, and just like, especially with Hollywood, like just so many like dark, creepy things that have happened, like the Black Dahlia, like, you know, stuff like that, where it's just like,
dude, she actually got murdered at the park.
Oh, did she actually?
She got dumped there.
Oh.
Yeah. Black Dahlia got dumped at the park, too.
There was a loose connection between her and the Cecil, but it was like... It was basically like she might have had her last drink there, but there's... It's like a 90% chance that she didn't, actually, so that's why I didn't include it in the story.
Yeah.
But... Like, there's a slight chance that, like, the last time that she was seen was at the Cecil. But
that's crazy. And then she got dumped at the park.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Dude, it all comes full circle.
It really does. It really does. That's wild. Any last thoughts before we say sayonara?
Dude, I crushed this second drink. I feel like I was, like, really... I don't know. I was like pretty slow on the first one, but the second one I've just completely annihilated.
Went down fast.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, maybe we stick around and have a third one then.
Definitely.
Word. All right. Well, we appreciate you sticking it out to the end. Definitely like, comment, subscribe. Please. You know, we're just getting started and we want to hear from you guys. We want to tailor this experience to be the best listening, you know, storytelling possible. So we want you guys on board. We want you guys giving feedback. How can we build the best narrative? How you guys want to see this grow and ultimately, hopefully, succeed? So please like, subscribe, you know, respond, reach out to us. Like, let us know. We want you guys to be, you know, equally a part of the story. We want you guys to feel like you're on the couch next to us, sipping and spooking. So,
and if you have any stories of your own, definitely send them to our email. So it's spiritsonspiritspod@gmail.com. It'll be linked in our show notes, like basically wherever you watch, it'll be linked. Send those in. I think, you know, eventually we'd like to get into telling some user stories, like stories sent in by our listeners and our own stories as they come up. So definitely send those in and follow us on all of our socials.
Hot take. I don't want people to send in stories. I'm going to get way too creeped out if people send in stories. So like, if you're listening to this, please don't send in stories. No, I'm kidding. I will read them, but I will be sitting on the couch going, oh, fuck, the entire time.
Because they're first person
stories. Yeah, they just make it so much more real. Like, dude, you showed... So, Aiden, for those of you still with us, Aiden showed me like a ghost podcast, like a spooky podcast that he watches and listens to and stuff like that. And I thought it was really cool. And I like got in bed, like my night tomb routine is like, you know, shower, get ready, like lay out the clothes, the workout clothes, all that stuff for the morning and stuff like that. And then I hop in bed and I watch one episode of Modern Family every night. I just watch one and then I go to bed. It's awesome. It's a great nighttime routine. It's all good vibes. I love it. The night that you showed me the spooky podcast, I was like, you know what? It'd be fun. Like watch like cut 30 seconds. Like I was all amped up on it. Like was excited to watch. So I watched and they had user stories where they like pulled up like a TikTok clip and it was like someone was like at a cabin in like the Appalachian Mountains and it was like a note from the previous like person or someone that was like, oh, like, I know I'm too close to the house watching, but it's too fun to be far away and stuff like that. I couldn't fall asleep for, like, 3 fucking hours after that. I was like, what the fuck? I literally got a minute into the podcast and was like, oh, no, I can. This is too creepy.
If so, you're wondering, I'll just shout them out. It's Two Girls, One Ghost podcast. They also are from, or at least now live on the North Shore. Definitely check out their podcast if you are interested.
Yeah, that was too creepy for me.
I really enjoy their podcast. And
no, I'm not saying it was a bad podcast at all, but it was just like I was 10:30 at night. I was ready to go to bed, and I was like, yeah, it'd be fun, like lighthearted ghost talk. And then they did that, and I was like, oh no, this sucks. Like I am so scared right now. Which, I mean, that's what you want.
That's even more enticing. If you want to scare the crap out of Nate, send in your stories, like, hopefully with some sort of picture or video along with it so that Nate doesn't sleep for, like, a week.
Fucking die, dude. I'm going to be so scared if people actually do this. No. Oh, man.
It's going to be great.
Yep. Oh, man. All right. Well, signing off. We appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Peace.